be our teacher, I pray, for Jesus' sake. And God's people said,
amen.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And I welcome all of you, and you pastors. We're all hungry, deeply and greatly hungry, for the things of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, a familiar portion to all of us, declares, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice the overwhelming force of this verse. Notice the all. As Paul writes under the anointing, he says, praying always, not sometimes, with all prayer, praying always with all supplication, praying always in the Spirit, praying always watching thereunto with all perseverance, and praying always for all saints. Now this is a very powerful verse, because he talks about prayer, supplication, and perseverance, and the very strong expression that he uses, being watchful. This is a very wealthy verse when it comes to prayer. And being watchful means do not be lazy. Paul understood the weakness of men, and Paul understood the natural neglect of prayer, because prayer is work. And knowing that prayer is work, he says, do not be lazy, be watchful. We must not allow laziness to set in, because if laziness sets in, it will destroy the effectiveness of our prayer life. Now, notice also the very powerful way he presents the constant prayer. For he says this, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching, be constant, be persistent, be sleepless, do not sleep. You must overcome. Why? Why is he so forceful in this portion of Scripture, as we see in all portions of Scripture where God speaks about this very important matter? God is forceful in it. Why? Because there's a devil. And because this devil is cunning, this devil is mighty, and continually plotting your destruction. Now, when it comes to prayer, understand one thing about it. It's by the Spirit. You cannot pray effectively in the flesh. That's why Paul said, all prayer, all supplication, all perseverance in the Spirit, not in the flesh. When there is that type of prayer in your life, you will not relax. You will not be lazy, because when you're in the Spirit, laziness is non-existent. Only the flesh gets lazy. But Paul the Apostle also warns us. He says, be watchful. Don't be lazy. Don't let the flesh get in there. Prayer occupied a very important place in Paul's life. In Ephesians 6, look just 1 minute again at verse 12, if you will. He says, we have an enemy. We have a very mighty, deadly enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He gives us here the five divisions of Satan's very organized army. Two, he says, we also fight against principalities. These are chief rulers of the highest kind. These are the princes that control nations. Three, he said, we also fight against powers, against sergeants, these that carry the orders of the principalities. They're the ones that execute the authority and the will of the principalities. And then he says, we also fight against rulers of the darkness of this world. We're fighting men who are possessed by evil spirits. And then we're also fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are heavenly wicked angels that fight us, wicked powers that oppose us. Now please know, and I am not saying this to frighten you or to impress you. The more you do for God, the more the devil will fight you. And the more you operate in the supernatural, the more he will be real to you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Are you listening to me? That's why Paul is so powerful with all prayer, all supplication, all perseverance, all saints in the Spirit. He said, don't you dare pray in the flesh, because there's a devil out there planning your downfall, planning your defeat and destruction. That's why he said it's imperative that prayer be always. Say always.
Always.
Now, even Jesus understood that. The words pray and prayer are found at least 25 times in connection to the Lord's life. At least 25 times. Therefore, if Christ Jesus prayed, and prayed continually, a man or a woman who does not spend much time in prayer cannot be properly called a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to say it again. If you look at his life, follower of Christ, if you're not praying just like he did. He said, follow me. Follow my example. The Bible says he prayed all the time. Prayer, in fact, is still his ministry. He ever liveth to make intercession. Hebrews 7:25 says. Now that's a very puzzling part of the Bible too. Why is Jesus still praying? And may I add, why will he pray forever? He ever liveth to make intercession. Hebrews 7:25 says. Now that's a very puzzling part of the Bible too. Why is Jesus still praying? And may I add, why will he pray forever? He is my high priest today. I have asked myself the question, well, why do I need one if I am saved? To stay saved. More than that, that also tells me we do not understand God's holiness. I think we are so far from God in our human ways and understanding of God we do not understand what holiness really is. You must understand that holiness, I want to say this very carefully. There's two sides to it. On one side, holiness will revive those that are living in the light. On the other side, holiness will judge those who are not. As he is in the light, the scripture says, walk in the light. What does it mean? Live in the light. What does it mean? You are light in the Lord. What does it mean? Alright, look at me, I'll explain. Before you came into this room, the lights were off. It was dark here sometimes this morning. And somebody turned the switch on. Turned the lights on. The minute the lights were turned on, the light expelled darkness. Darkness was judged when the light came on. Darkness was expelled when the light came on. In the presence of God, who is light, darkness is judged. Therefore, whatsoever is not light will be destroyed in the presence of God. His very holiness will judge what is not holy. So if we approach the presence of God as sinners, we're dead on the spot. We'll vanish out of sight in a second. We will be judged, expelled, destroyed forever. Why? Because His presence is too holy to allow anything sinful. That's why the blood must be applied. Look at me, please. God is too holy to look upon men. He cannot. The scripture says his eyes are too pure to behold sin. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Hosea wrote. So God is too holy to look at you and me. We must come through Christ Jesus. He is our cover. He is our covering. His perfect work is our protection. When we are hid in Christ, we live. If ever we're out of Christ, we die. He's too holy to allow sinful men into His presence. Now, forever, Christ intercedes for us. Why? I think one of these days we will fully comprehend this, but we must understand He's God and He is holy. His holiness is indescribable and eternal. And yet that holiness we will never fully understand. I shouldn't say never, we will not understand till we see Him face to face. And when we do, we will understand. And understand also beyond that why Christ Jesus will forever be our priest, high priest. Prayer is so important to Him that the Bible says it is that ministry that keeps us. Do you know if Christ Jesus is not praying for you now, we will all perish? Our salvation will not hold. We are kept by the power of God. Say it. Say it again. Because you see, we're surrounded by evil forces. You are hiding in Him. You are hid in Christ Jesus. His ministry of prayer is your protection. Today and forever. You see, forever, we will continue to have choice. Free will not be taken away from us. Therefore, His ministry of prayer will keep you forever. That should settle down on you like a heavy cloud of glory. We are neglecting the breath that's keeping us breathing. Would you do this? Every time you pray, you do. In the Spirit. Every time you pray, you take a breath. What would you do to you physically if you did that yourself? What would happen to your body if you quit breathing right now? If you took your hand and put it on top of your nose and mouth for about 1 minute, what happened to you? You know what happened to you. People of God, the people who do not pray are choking their spiritual life. They are killing themselves. They are holding their breath. They're placing their hand over their nose and mouth. People that do not pray are not breathing. Are you breathing right now? In the natural, right? What would happen if you were not breathing right now? You'd die. Well, I'm just saving your life right now. Every time you pray, you take a breath. Say it. And what comes out after prayer? Praise. You take in prayer and you release praise. So it's all the same. We inhale prayer and exhale praise. Therefore, the people who are not praising are not praying because praise is the result of prayer. Ah, you missed what I said. Okay, let's all do it. Come on, in the natural. Come on. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale is prayer. Exhale is what? If you're not praising, you're not praying. So the people who really pray are the only ones praising. So praise is not the result of decision. Praise is the result of breath. The breath of God coming into you through prayer. You take a breath, that's prayer. Exhale, that's praise. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just bless Him right now, people. Now, say this after me. Prayer is the key to my growth. Say it again. Yeah, your spiritual growth is dependent on one thing, prayer. Prayer is the key to your spiritual growth, no different than breath to your body. How to pray. Acts 12 verse 5 is the first key I'm going to give you. Acts 12, 5. The Bible says these words. And this is, I know, simple, but this is so powerful, very powerful. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Say, unto God. Say it again. That's the first key. I'm giving you the first key. I'm giving you very foundational, biblical, powerful truth that will change your life. Number one. The prayer that has power is the prayer that's offered unto God. Because much of what is called prayer is not. And much of what is prayer has nothing to do with God. Unto God is the first key because it demands a face-to-face meeting. How can you pray if you're not talking to somebody? Unto God means face to face. Unto God means what?
Face to face.
Say it again.
Face.
Now, face to face means relationship. Means I must come into His presence. It means I must know Him. This is impossible without the Holy Spirit. So, to really pray unto God, I must have the Holy Spirit bring me to God. I cannot pray unto God unless I'm brought into His presence. And since I cannot come on my own, I need the one who can bring me there. That's why the Bible says, by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. You don't just talk to God. How can you talk to God? He's God in your flesh. He's eternal and you're not. How can you approach a God you've never seen? How can you talk to the Eternal One and all you are is a piece of dust? How can the divine touch the corrupt? And how can the corrupt approach the divine? Impossible. That's why Job wrote, "Who hath known his ways?" God is unknown to man. He's only known to the spirit of man. Nobody can know God. Let's face it. He is not known to the flesh. People, look, you must understand something. Before God revealed Himself to Abraham, people made images out of him, not knowing what to make of him. They looked at the heavens and they said, well, somebody made it, so let's just decide ourselves that somebody is the sun or the moon or the tree or a rock. Humanity could not discover this God because He was unknown. Therefore, God had to reveal Himself to a man. His name was Abraham. Now, the only way to find God was to find Abraham. And then God revealed Himself to Isaac and to Jacob. Think about only a family knew God, and the whole world was in darkness. So the God of heaven was only known to a few. And anyone who was looking for God had to find Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob, or a member of the family to see, where is this God? How do I find Him? Later, this God revealed Himself to a whole nation. So to find God, you had to find His people. Because outside those people were idols. Because nobody knew what to make of Him. How to find Him? What does it look like? Israel were His representatives. Later, God revealed Himself in one man named Christ Jesus. Therefore, to find God, you had to find Christ Jesus. And to this day, it is so. Outside Christ Jesus, you cannot find God. God chose a family, a nation, to bring forth Christ Jesus. And only through Him is God discovered and found. This blessed God is a person. And through Christ, by His Spirit, we can find Him. That's why prayer is impossible without Jesus Christ. And prayer is impossible without going in by the Spirit. I've discovered that years ago. Changed my life. When I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know. I do not know how to pray. Help me talk to my Father. Changed my life. So many people are praying and going nowhere. Why? They don't have a face-to-face fellowship. No face-to-face encounter. It's impossible without. You can't pray without that. Say prayer.
Prayer
demands a face-to-face encounter.
Face-to-face.
Say it again.
Prayer.
That's only the first key. I'm teaching you how to pray. To pray, you must have a face-to-face meeting with God Almighty. And to have a face-to-face meeting, you must, hear this, you must be brought in by the Spirit. We have access by the Spirit. Say it. We have access. So you cannot walk in on your own. The invitations of Hebrews, come in boldly into the throne room of grace, is impossible without the Spirit. That's number one. Number two. Now this is very, very important. Prayer must be constant prayer, because we are commanded to pray constantly, without ceasing. Now, the Word of God clearly states that we must pray constantly. In Acts 12 verse 5, it says constant prayer. Notice what it says there. Prayer was made without ceasing. Constant prayer. Now, what is constant prayer? This is the second key. Constant prayer means, and you've got to look at the word constant, because the word constant means stretched out. Literally, it's an intensely stretching out to God. It's like someone who is drowning in a pool, reaching out to the hands of a man who's going to save him. That's what it means. Constantly, that word means stretched outwardly. It means to stretch with all power to be rescued. Oh Jesus, help me get this to them. The closest translation is with deep intensity. That same word is used in Hebrews 5, verse 7. I'm going to read it to you. Oh, how I've experienced this. Oh, how I've experienced this. The Bible says this, Hebrews 5, 7. Listen. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. It's that deep, intense prayer. Paul the Apostle used the same language in Romans 15:30 when he said, strive together with me in prayer. Fight. Contend. Fight with your whole soul. Put your soul into it. Stretch out toward God in intense, agonizing desire. That's what it means. That's the second key. And that too is impossible without the Holy Spirit. People of God, you got to understand something. When you begin prayer, you must wait till the Holy Spirit stirs you. And when He stirs you, there will begin an agonizing, groaning, crying with intensity. That's what the word constant means. That's what without ceasing means. You are stretched out. You are so intense that every part of you is crying out. Only possible by the Spirit. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, let that be with every one of them. Lord, let that kind of prayer be born in every one of them. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, it is impossible to pray this kind of prayer without waiting upon the Spirit. You cannot rush in. You must understand Romans 8:26, because many have misunderstood Romans 8:26. The Bible is very clear on this fact. It says, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Why? Because we don't know how to pray. The disciples said, teach us to pray. We still say the same prayer. We're still crying out, Lord, teach us to pray. That's why I'm so glad I'm beginning with this conference with this one thing. Lord, teach us to pray. Real prayer. Not some empty nothing. Real prayer that will change our lives. The Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. What? With groanings. That's that same word, constant, that cannot be uttered. People of God, listen to me. I'm sure many of you have experienced it. But this kind of prayer is the only prayer that will change your life. The only prayer that has results. The only prayer that brings the presence of God on you. And the only prayer that breaks the chains of your life. It's that prayer. But there is a waiting period. And in that waiting period, in that waiting time, it's life or death. If you give up, you'll die. If you give up, you lose. If you give up, you're defeated. Wait until the Holy Spirit will move upon you as He moved upon Samson. Wait till He begins to wet the grounds of your soul. Wait until the dew of heaven begins to touch your heart. Don't say a word until He touches you. That is the most difficult thing to do. That's why the Bible says, let your words be few. Because if you work up your own energy and you pump the flesh, God will not listen. Now, when the Holy Spirit is on you, I have never known a time, never, where I began screaming at God. Never repeat myself. Never mumble, numble, nothing. In the presence of God, you don't need your prayer list. Everything you thought you wanted to say, you cannot say it. Because now the Holy Ghost is taking over. The first thing that's going to happen to you, you're going to break. You will know the Holy Ghost is there when He's there, because the first thing He'll do is break you. A contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. True prayer is born out of brokenness. Not repetition. Not some bless me, keep me, help me, my mom, my dad, my job, my kids. Everything you do in the flesh is wearing you down. Just be quiet. Just say nothing. How do I start? No, that's the wrong question. Don't start. Just sit there and let Him start. What do you mean let Him? Yes, let Him start. Just sit there. But I got to let Him know I'm there. He's not blind. He can see you. Just sit there. What do I do in the meantime? Wait. What do you mean wait? Wait. You mean just wait? I mean just wait. What do I do if I wait? Nothing. Just wait. He knows you're there and He knows why you're there. How long? Who cares? That's your problem. You see, we're not willing to pay that one price. Time. Because we are accustomed to quick healing. Quick deliverance. Quick, 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 quick. There's nothing quick. My friend, listen to me. Listen carefully to me. Be still and know I'm God. Just sit there. Now when you are completely surrendered, and that's your biggest battle. Your biggest battle is just sit there and do nothing. Don't get occupied. Don't wear yourself out, because most of us wear ourselves to the ground. And by the time he comes in, we are completely wiped out by our begging and our repetition and our yawning and our crying and our nothing nonsense. Then at some moment, it could be an hour, who cares? You'll begin to feel fresh rain touch the dry grounds of your soul. And when that fresh rain descends, you'll start breaking. And when you start breaking, you can't talk anymore. Because when you break, the second you break, you move out of your dimension, out of your misery, out of your death. Now your soul cries after God. And when your soul cries after God, words cannot be found. Because now it's heart to heart, face to face. Lift your hands and tell Him to bring you there. Come on. There's a moment that belongs to each one of you daily. And possibly the last time you had that moment was years ago. I hope you have had it at least once. When there is an intimacy beyond description, when you've prayed and you've been broken and refreshed, and there's a moment during that season when you just know to ask. You just know, this is the moment I will receive whatever I ask for. John the Apostle talks about that. Listen. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. He's telling me that there's a place that anything you ask, you get. Anything. There's never a no in that season. Because it says, because we keep His commandment and do those things that are pleasing to Him in His sight. Therefore, there is a place where God will be so pleased, anything you ask, He'll give it to you. But the sad thing is, none of us are willing to wait for that moment. We're out of there before it can begin. But the Lord will bring you there. Would you turn to Psalm 145? Verse 18. Because in that moment, something happens to you. All hypocrisy dies. All insincerity dies. It's all by the Spirit. These things cannot be produced by the flesh. Now that you're in the presence of the Lord, now that you are broken, now that Jesus is so real to you, something happens to you. Something priceless. And it all happens At the same time as that moment where you know anything you ask, you'll receive. Just like 1 John 3:22 says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do His commandments and what is pleasing to Him. But now in Psalm 145, and verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. There will come that moment of absolute truth in prayer. And when that comes, David says the same thing John says. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. That says to me, God will answer in a moment when that moment of truth is there. That moment of truth means that reality sets in, sincerity. God answers that prayer that is now prayed in truth, and that is only possible by the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, we've read this so many times, but we've not understood it only belongs to that moment. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. But watch what it says. And if we know that He heareth us. In other words, there is that moment that we'll know. There's a moment of intimacy. This is intimacy here. This is not sometime you pray when God is not present. This is intimacy. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've desired. So in the presence of the Lord, there is no struggle. There's no death. There's no emptiness. There's no disease. There's no bondage. And in that presence, there's answered prayer. It cannot remain unanswered if He's there. His presence is an answering prayer presence. You know what I mean? In other words, when Jesus comes, He brings the answer to the cry of the heart. Because it says He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will deliver them. When the Lord is nigh. He's nigh unto all who call upon Him in truth. And when He's nigh, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. So in His presence, all prayer is answered. So if you ever leave and prayer is unanswered, it's because Christ has not shown up. So we must wait for the Lord to come. Anybody listening? I'm talking about that moment of intimacy. And this is what these scriptures I gave you talk about. Every one of them is a reality when Jesus is present. Not one of what I just read to you from 1 John 3 or from the Psalms or 3 John 14. I should say 1 John 5:14. Every one of these scriptures is in the presence of the Lord. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He will do it. Why? Because we know that He's heard us. And now He's heard us. We have the petitions. Well, how do we know He heard us? We saw Him. We know He's there. It's not a matter of faith. It's not a matter of convincing myself. It's reality. I pray to God this is getting through to you. This passage tells me clearly that in the presence of the Lord, God's will is revealed. Now here's what people do. They find the scripture. They go and they demand God answer it. And nothing happens. Well, it's His word. Of course it's word. But why isn't God answering it when I remind Him of it? Because it's the flesh doing it. All I'm doing is reading and repeating, and there's no spirit. Remember what I said earlier? All prayer in the spirit, say it. Now, in the Spirit means you must be in the Spirit, under His influence, His control, His covering, like being in the water, you're in the Spirit. It means one with, unison, connection, unity with the Spirit of God. When you're in the Spirit, there's brokenness, all that I said to you earlier. But in the Spirit, only in the Spirit is God's will revealed. It's like this. We've been taught, pray according to His will. Alright? I pray according to His will, as I've been taught, you've been taught, by knowing His written, revealed will. That's not enough. It's not enough. Because I can memorize the whole Bible, I can know every promise, and never have a prayer answered. Because I can memorize the whole Bible, I can know every promise, and never have a prayer answered. Why? Alright? Listen. Listen carefully. Listen. It's a verse you've heard, but maybe never connected it with what I'm saying. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But watch this. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, God the Father, searching the hearts of man, knows the mind of the Holy Ghost who is in prayer, because He, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, if I pray according to His will, He doesn't hear me because it's in the flesh. But if the Holy Spirit uses my body, is praying through me, and if He, the Holy Spirit, has breathed Himself into His will and prays His will, it is that prayer that's answered, not the prayer I pray that is answered. I can pray, Lord, Your word says, Your word says, Your word says. He ignores me. Lord, Your word says. I can scream it. I can shout it. I can holler it. I can repeat that for 100 years. Nothing. But I'm alone. And now the Holy Ghost breaks my heart and soul. Suddenly, the flesh cracks and falls off. Suddenly, all that I thought I knew, I know no more. Suddenly, it's no longer I that prays. Suddenly, every word is born by the Spirit. Remember, all prayer, all supplication, all perseverance in the Spirit. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost is in control. And the Holy Spirit does not pray according to what I desire Him to pray. Nor does He pray for the things I want God to do for me. Because these are selfish prayers. James 4 says selfish prayers will not be answered. God's Holy Spirit now is praying using my vessel to touch the throne of God with groanings that cannot be uttered. Those groanings are not words. Those groanings are not words that I am producing in the flesh. Those groanings are beyond words. But those groanings are deeper than words, and suddenly it is the Word of God that is in control of that prayer. Every time that happens, when those groanings that cannot be uttered are a reality, the Word of God becomes preeminent. The Word of God becomes all in all. Suddenly it is the Word of God that's being prayed. You'll hear yourself say things you've never said before. You wonder how you got that wisdom. That kind of prayer brings the Word out of its treasure house. And God is faced with it. It is that, my brother, that happened to Moses. You wouldn't dare look at God and say, repent. Unless the Holy Ghost is speaking through you. The man didn't say it. The man did not say, what would the Egyptians say? The man could not speak such words. You are God who said to Abraham. You can't say it. That prayer was prayed in the book of Acts, where Peter the Apostle prayed in the Spirit and said, by the mouth of the prophets you've said. The Word of God became so alive, it literally shook heaven and shook the upper room for the second time. It is that kind of prayer that shook the jail when Paul the Apostle was chained. It's that kind of prayer that shook the cave that John was in on Patmos. Are you listening? We're not talking about flesh. We're talking about the Holy Ghost, who takes over that vessel of clay and turns it into an instrument of prayer. May the Lord bring you there in Jesus' name. God is not looking for beggars. He's looking for partners. Prayer is not, gimme, 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 gimme. Prayer is, I'm standing by your side, Lord. It is that kind of prayer that gives God a partner. You know, the Word says, nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't say, nothing is impossible to God. God is looking for a man or a woman to stand side by side with Him. When you are in the Spirit, now you are no longer asking, you are cooperating. You will say things to the Lord about Himself to exalt Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. How? By telling Him who He is. That's what happened. Moses said, God, You are the God of Abraham. You said to Abraham. Read what David wrote. Lord! And he begins to tell God who He is. He said, well, now, doesn't God know? You don't understand. That's the way you glorify Him. You glorify Him as you become His co-worker, His partner. You are strengthening Him. He said, what did you say? I know this is news to you. God is looking for men and women who stand by Him with His plans for humanity. Could you not tarry with me for an hour? He's still saying it. For the word of God is established forever. God is looking for a man who will stand in the gap. Do you understand that? Because that man becomes his partner. That's what prayer is all about. Now, people of God, I don't know whether you are as far as you ought to be in prayer. Now, just a second, Cheryl. I don't know whether you're as far as you ought to be, because most people, sadly, are still on that level that says, give me, bless me, my children, my mind, my body. That's the basement. Get out of the basement. Because when you're up on the mountain, all your shackles are broken. And all your needs are met. He'll meet your need before you can say anything. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Then lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm going there. Now, very quickly, we cast ourselves upon the Holy Spirit, who will direct us, lead us, even guiding our expressions. Now, very quickly, we cast ourselves upon the Holy Spirit, who will direct us, lead us, even guiding our expressions. Don't ever rush into the presence of God like a fool. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, lead you. Because only when that happens, there'll be freedom, directness, power. And only then you'll pray in faith. Faith is born in the Spirit. You don't have to believe. You don't have to convince yourself. Because 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells me that the Holy Ghost is the spirit of faith. And when He is there in prayer, faith is automatic. This is where Galatians 4:6 becomes a reality. By the Spirit, Abba Father. By the Spirit, you are now in communion by the Holy Ghost. And this is where persistent prayer is born. This is where Luke 18:1 is going to be a reality. Don't faint. People faint in the flesh. They can't faint in the Spirit. You cannot faint in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, there's no shame. It is determination. It's persistent. It's shamelessness in prayer. It is asking God with such power that does not give up. You know, you've heard say, people say, well, just don't give up. Well, you know what? You give up easy in the flesh. When you say don't give up, from now on, when I say don't give up, there's only one way to be strong: in the Spirit. Because the flesh doesn't know how to be strong. The flesh gives up very quickly. It's not mental determination. It is Holy Ghost determination. Anybody listening? We have example after example in the Scripture. Luke 18, Jesus talks about this wicked judge. His whole point is, you must be determined. But you see, determination and perseverance, from what we read in Ephesians, is in the Spirit. You cannot be determined in the flesh, because the flesh dies quickly. It gives up quickly. It surrenders quickly. It falls apart quickly. But when you're in the Spirit, when you do what I've been talking to, when you do what I've been telling you, wait till the Holy Ghost breaks you. Brother, there will be determination. There will be such determination, it will be heavenly determination. You'll break through, not because of you, because of Him on you. Now, let me say something here. Something about God that is quite puzzling to the man of the flesh, and very glorifying and very glorious to the man of the spirit. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 7, He said this, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him?" Now this is the puzzling part. "Though He bear long with them." Why does He bear long with them? What's the purpose of God delaying an answer? God looks for men and women, because I've experienced what I'm talking to you about, that when you get in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is in control, your being is an instrument. You're no longer praying, He's praying. And you begin to feel you're wrestling. And now, as you are wrestling, something happens, something beyond description. You know that scripture, "From glory to glory we're changed by the Spirit"? Mr. Brock, I've discovered something years ago. The flesh has many layers. The flesh has many layers. Give me your hand. In prayer, God will not answer. It may be days, weeks. But if you are determined in the Holy Ghost, something happened to you. The flesh loses one layer. One layer. Remember what I just said to you. The flesh has many layers. It's taken a lifetime for the flesh to grow. It's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. That's why it's a process of death. We don't know this, but wrestling with God removes a layer. Wrestling again, another layer. Again, another layer. If we don't wrestle in the Spirit, the layer stays on. But the longer we wrestle, the more layers come off. And one day, the full man in Christ Jesus comes out. Did you get it? That's why He bears long with them. He bears long to pull the layer off. It took all night for one layer to come off Jacob. And God said, "You're Israel. We are ready for every layer to be taken off." My friend, He's looking for a wrestling match. And He's looking for you in the wrestling circle of the Spirit. How many are ready to lose a layer? Do you now know what I'm talking about? When you get there, when you begin to live that kind of spirit life, and prayer in the Spirit becomes a very natural thing in your life, then you can experience something amazing. And with that, I'm going to close. Crisis will come to your life. Crisis comes all the time. But here's what will happen. In the Spirit, as you are wrestling daily, and as you are losing flesh daily, losing layers of flesh daily, the new man is awakening. The new man is being freed. The new man is getting stronger while the flesh is getting weaker. And suddenly, every crisis becomes victory. No crisis leads you in defeat. See, Jesus prayed before every crisis and after every crisis. He could see it coming. You know why he could see it coming? Because the flesh wasn't over him. The flesh blinds us. We cannot see what's coming because we are blinded by the flesh. As scales come off, as layers come off, our vision begins to crystallize. And as it crystallizes, we can see what's coming. And now we understand that when the righteous man sees danger, he hides. And when he hides, he'll have triumph. But the fool is destroyed. Why? Because the fool is still blinded by the flesh. But only the wise can see. You know, Jesus said, anoint your eyes that you might see. He was thinking about prayer. Every trial becomes great. Life goes from victory to victory, from triumph to triumph. And now we begin to understand what prayer in the Spirit is. It becomes natural. It becomes easy.